God is the one who can change your situation. And so before we dive in, we want to pray and say, God, our hearts are expectant. We're ready to receive. So let's bow our heads. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for your presence in this place. We love you. We are honored that we get to be part of your church, your body in this community, this 14621 Northeast Quadrant in the city of Rochester. What a privilege. We're thankful for that. God, there are people here that come experiencing all kinds of different situations. And I pray that you would meet each and every one of us, myself included, that you would meet us right where we are. Our hearts are ready to receive. Our minds are open and alert to hear what you have to say to us today. I pray that you would speak to someone here needs a word from you, a transforming word from you, God. And I pray that by your Spirit you would minister to each and every one of us today. I ask that you would stand in this my body, that you would think with my mind and speak with my tongue. Say to us in this house those things that you would have us know. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I don't know about you, but I love going to big events. I love going to places where there's hundreds if not thousands of people. It's fun to be part of big events. And once a year, some of my closest friends and I do a weekend trip out of town. We all get permission from our wives, and they give us permission. Thank you, Amy. Much appreciated. She's given me permission to go out this in a few weekends. And we go to, and we get together. They're my brothers. We actually, we do strange things. These are how close these guys are with me. We'll get together and we'll worship together. We'll sing songs to God together. We'll cry with each other. We'll talk about what's going on in our lives. We will encourage each other. And all of us are in different leadership positions in churches and different areas of life. But we encourage each other. But we do something very spiritual as well. We gather over a weekend around an NFL football game. Because we're spiritual like that, right? We choose a game and we go and we're gonna get together, we're gonna have a great weekend together, but we're gonna go to a game. And we love going. It's a huge crowd. If you've ever been to a sporting event like that, it's huge, it's intimidating. It's like, wow, look at these stadiums and all the people. There's something amazing about going to a game. But I've realized something, that as cool as it is to be in that huge stadium filled with lots and thousands of people, something would be missing for me in my experience if my friends were not with me. Are you with me? If I was just at the stadium, it was a great concert, it was a great game, it was a great event. Sometimes I've been to big church events, evangelistic events, where there's thousands of young people, and it's awesome. But part of the cool part of being there is being with people who can share the experience with me. Amen? And it's, there's something about not being able to share the experience with someone. In our wedding, a few months back in May, we got married recently. I've been married recently for those who don't know me. And the crowd there was wonderful. And it was a big crowd. We were so happy that so many of you were able to join us and come and celebrate with us. But it was special because for us, every person there meant something special to us. There's something different about being in a big crowd, and I don't know you, you don't know me, but this is fun. That's different than we're in an event together, and everyone there means something to you. There's something sweet about experiencing life and experiencing the things that God brings to our lives together. And both in the game would not be the same if my boys were not with me. We always cheer for competing teams, too, so it's always fun. Someone is going to leave the stadium crying when we leave. That's just the way it goes. Someone's going to be happy. Someone's going to be crying. And of course, on our wedding day, it was all smiles. Amen? It was all joy. And we are so thankful for that. Have you ever been to an event like that? With friends or without friends? You ever go to the movies by yourself? Yeah? Right? No, it's fine. It's cool. You know, you might, you know, there's something cool about just being able to sit and enjoy. But there's something about, you know, oh my goodness, something really intense happened. Who are you going to tell? Unless you like talking to strangers, right? Can you believe that? Hey, pass me some popcorn over here. Come on. Right? There's something about it. It's not the same if you're not with people. Part of what we're going to talk about today is I believe God wants this church to grow. Amen? And part, God wants this church to grow, not because just growing for growing's sake, because every seat that is next to you that is empty represents a person that needs to hear the message of Jesus. Every seat that is empty next to you represents a person who, if they die tonight, apart from Christ, and no one has shared, and they haven't been able to sit and listen to the word of God and listen to the message of hope of the cross of Jesus, every seat represents a soul that is eternal. And we have an opportunity in this church as heart and soul members, as people who call church home. If you are here for the first time, or if you're not here very often, please give us some grace as we talk about some dreams that we have for the church. So as you hear about this, I'm going to be talking about some dreams that we have for Heart and Soul Community Church. And I'm going to do it in the context of Acts chapter 2. If you have your fill-in notes, we're going to start right now. There's a scripture in Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. And I'm going to do something that mostly should not be done, but I'm going to preach this text backwards, okay? Everyone say backwards. Okay, and so you'll see why I'm doing that in a minute. But I'm actually going to start with the last part. The first part of the scripture says, and actually it's the last part of the scripture. It says, and the Lord added to their number daily, everyone say daily, those who were being, what? Saved. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Well, what kind of situation was this that the Lord was adding to the number daily those who were being saved? What is that scenario? And the first feeling that you have there is God's first church. And so this is talking about the first church, the early church. In the history of churches, this was the first one. God's first church experienced daily growth through people coming to know Jesus. God's first church experienced daily growth through people coming to know Jesus. It's just what was happening. The church was growing because every day God was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. Daily growth through people coming to know Jesus. And I remember a pastor who would say, what would happen in our church if every single day at least one person that we know, one of your friends, one of your family members, someone in your circle, one person came to Christ? Let's see. And he would say, one person a day, and there's 52 weeks, and if you do the math, how much would that be? And somebody, he's saying, he's trying to figure it out, and somebody stood up and said, 365. Because one person a day is 365. Can you imagine what that was like? God was adding at least one person a day, and of course we know through the scriptures that it was a lot more than that. But God's first church experienced daily growth through people coming to know Jesus. And I'll just say this right off the bat. At Heart and Soul, one of our prayers is that we become more and more like God's first church. Amen? If Jesus figured it out and the disciples figured a way to do church early on, that's the kind of church I want to be. Here's why. Because that first church was the first group that gathered that spread from one nation to another and to another. And we are here today preaching about Jesus and lifting up the name of Jesus because that first church did their work effectively and dreamed a big dream. Amen? That's why we're here, and we want to be like that first church. The second part, again, going from the back, going backwards, it says, and the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. But before that, it says, enjoying the favor of all the people. And here's the feeling. God's first church experienced favor in their community. God's first church experienced favor in their community. Can you imagine what it was like to be part of the first church? And that time there was all kinds of different things that were coming against the church. But that first church experienced favor. Everyone say favor. Favor is when you need to get somewhere and all of the lights are green. Are you with me? It's when you need to park very quickly so you can get into a meeting or to your job and the closest spot to the door opens up in the parking lot. Everyone say favor. Now, there's other kinds of favor. Favor is when you're going to have a difficult conversation and you say, God, help me before I have this conversation. And even though you expected it to be really bad and really difficult and anger to rise tremendously, when you go, the favor of God starts turning things around. And the conversation that could have been disruptive somehow ends up working for your good. The favor of God is what Joseph experienced, who told his brothers, Joseph was a guy in the Old Testament who had a big dream, and right after that big dream, he was thrown in jail, and he was accused falsely and ultimately sold as a slave, and he was in a bad situation. But eventually God took him from the prison and made him the second in command to Pharaoh. Joseph experienced the favor of God. And when his brothers who had sold him into slavery, anybody got any brothers or sisters who have sold you into slavery? Probably not. Maybe some. This is, how many know, if your brothers sell you into slavery, you might want to work on your family relationships, right? If your brothers sell you into slavery, you've got some issues going on of hatred, okay? And his brothers had sold him, and now he had arisen to be a second in command in all of Egypt. Everyone looked to him. When his brothers came, the same brothers who had hurt him and who had sold him, they were afraid, and Joseph looked at them and said, guys, don't worry about it. You meant it for evil, but God turned it around for good, for the salvation of many. How many know that that's God's favor? Amen? So I don't know what difficult thing you're going through today. Everyone say today. You're going through something. I know you're all going through something. Whatever that thing is, I want you to know that God's favor can turn things around. The early church experienced favor in their community. And we pray that God gives us favor with the heroin addicts, that God gives us favor with the drug dealers, that God gives us favor with the mayor and the city council, that God gives us favor with the schools and the teachers and the administrators, that God gives us favor with community groups, amen? That God gives us favor so that when we step into streets and we are sharing the message of Jesus, that the favor of God is going before us. God's first church experienced favor in their community. And then before that, it says praising God. And I'll just simply say this. I don't have to talk about this one for too long. God's first church was a worshiping church. God's first church was a worshiping church. They were a church that exalted the living God. They were a worshiping church, a church that magnified the Lord in everything they did. Scriptures then says they broke bread in their homes, or say in their homes, and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So I want you to see that the end game, what is the first part of the scripture? And the Lord added to their number what?
Daily,
those who are being saved. That's the dream. Are you with me? The dream is that God would help us at Heart Soul to add people daily, to share the message of Jesus daily. Now, you and I can't make that happen. Only God can make it happen. That's why it says, and the Lord added. It doesn't say Peter added or John added. It says the Lord added. Amen? This is adding to the church is the Lord's work. But we see some characteristics. They enjoyed favor. They were a worshiping church. And then they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. The people in God's first church connected with each other. The people in God's first church connected with each other. They connected with each other. They weren't just about the church service, but they connected with each other. Where did they connect with each other? Where in the world? In their homes. Christina's back, she's sharp. God bless you. Yeah, in their homes. In other words, there was a closeness to it. There's a meeting in the temple. There's a meeting in the service. But then there's something about in their homes. There's something about getting close to other people. The people in God's first church connected with each other. Amen? One of the reasons why we had to sign up for small groups is because we believe that a champion here, it is not possible for me to be a champion for God, praying and reading the scriptures and even fasting for God, but I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to be around. I can have a close relationship with God, but it's not possible for you to become a champion if you're seeking God, but you say, but I don't want to open my heart to anybody. I want everyone to think that I've got everything okay. And so I'm not going to go into a group and talk about life. And by the way, some of these groups, you're not necessarily have to share your soul or anything like that. So don't get nervous. But it's an opportunity to get close to people, to do life. Life is too short to be fake.
Right.
Are you with me? We could drop dead tomorrow. And if you die tomorrow, or if I die tomorrow, all the pretensions, all the surface things are not going to matter at all. Amen? Life is too short. And so my encouragement to all of us is, like the first church, Be connected with each other. Build relationships with one another. Look at the people around you. Embrace them. Build relationships. Get connected. Then, moving on, again, backwards from the scripture, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They didn't just meet in the homes, but they continued to meet together in the temple courts. The people in God's first church connected to God and brought others along. The people in God's first church, this is the example. Well, I don't feel like doing that. That's kind of hard. Or, man, how do they do this? How do they get to see the glory of God? God added to the number daily those who were being saved. The people of God's first church connected to God. That's part of being a champion, amen? We've got to connect with the living God. I shared this with you last week, but every time somebody comes and talks to me about problems that they're having, and I love hearing about them because I believe that God has answers in His Word, and God has answers and solutions to whatever you're going through. One of the first questions I always ask is, how's your relationship with God? Because most of the time when somebody's struggling, when somebody is going through a depressive situation, there's a relational break. Sometimes if our relationship with God is not connected, it's close like this. Things break and they don't work the way that they were supposed to. The people in the first church connected to God and brought others along. And the first part of the scripture, and that's the last little scripture that I read, it says every day. Everyone say every day.
Every day.
Say it again, every day.
Every day.
It says every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen? If you have people in your life that are far away from Jesus, people who don't know the Lord, this is a good equation. God, help us as a church. My dream is that we will become this kind of church. Amen? That we will be a church that's connecting to God, connecting to other people, that we're serving, that we're sharing, that we are worshiping church, that we are enjoying the favor of God in our community. That, you know, we might be nervous about giving somebody an invitation, but we don't know. You know, if I don't know Chilo, I might be afraid to give him an invitation to church because I don't know if he'll reject me. But you know what the cool thing is? When God's favor goes before you, God will already be working in that person's heart, whoever it may be, before you show up, before you say one word to them. God is already at work. And when you show up and you say, hey, I invite you to come to my church. I would love for you to come. You will be amazed at the responses. You know what? I've been thinking about going to church. You know what? Such and such thing happened. I need God in my life. And who knows what God will do when His favor goes before you. Amen?
Amen.
And if you want to even do one better, not only invite them and say, you know what? I'll pick you up and bring you. I'll pick you up and bring you. Do you know how many times people are wanting to go to church, but one reason or another, they just don't make it? I mean, some of you know, right? I mean, we're a family. We got two kids. It ain't easy getting the kids up and getting to church, right? I mean, that's the challenge. And so there's all kinds of obstacles. But if you say, you know what, I'm going to pick you up because we are trying to be like that first church who connected to God and brought others along. The people in God's church, first church, valued daily connection. That's why it says every day. Every day. Every day. Now, we are not saying, although if you want to, let me know. We'll let you come into the church every day if you want to. Amen? You want to come and pray every day? You want to come and talk? That's fine. Just come and talk to us. We'll make it happen because there's something beautiful about connecting with God every day. But we don't gather every day. We have once a week. Amen? That's 52 times a year. And my encouragement to you and my encouragement to those folks who are here sporadically or for the first time or visiting is give God a shot at least once a week. Make it your aim. I'm not going to miss church no matter what. Because just about once a week is the diet that I need to hear someone speaking the word of God to me. Now, every other day during the week, my prayer is that we're all connecting with God, that we're praying, we're reading the scriptures, we're fasting, we're reaching for God every day. But the people in God's first church valued daily connection. They validated connection, they went to the temple courts, they hung out in homes. They gave people refrigerator rights. You know what refrigerator rights are? Right? There are people who can go to your house and without asking, they can walk over to the fridge. Are you with me? Hallelujah. I like that. I like being in people's houses who have given me refrigerator rights, right? And I know when I stand up and I start making my way to the kitchen and people kind of start like, what is he doing? It's like, okay, I know I don't have refrigerator rights, right? The people that we can connect to, you today here, can develop relationships with other people in this church that will open up your home, open up your life, and that you'll give them refrigerator rights and they'll give them to you. What a beautiful thing, amen? But the friends that I'm going on this trip with in a few weeks, we have refrigerator rights with each other. We don't have to ask. You know, it just happens because we're close, because we're good. Why? We've invested in relationships. And I pray that you would experience that here in Heart and Soul. So in this new season at Heart and Soul Community Church, we believe, some things we believe in, we'll finish with these we can statements. So we believe that we can be a church that sees daily growth through people coming to know Jesus. We believe that we can be a church that sees daily growth through people coming to know Jesus. Amen? This is, listen, a living organism grows. And God, as his church, he is his body, and Jesus Christ is the head. He is not into minimalism. He is not into, well, whatever, just the status quo. God's heart beats for people. God loves the children. God loves the teenagers that are astray. God loves your family. God loves the families in this community. So his heart is beating for them. And I want all of our hearts to start beating for those people too. Amen? And oftentimes we think, well, what can I do? How can I connect with them? How can I be a blessing to them? Listen, you start with who you are. You start with what you have. God's not asking you to do something that you don't have. God is asking you to give of what you have. Amen? You have a smile. You have an encouraging word. You have an invitation that says, come to Heart and Soul. We'd love to have you here. What you have is enough. Everyone say enough. Enough. Everyone say, I am enough. I'm not going to make you do it again, but remember last week, I am anointed. I am anointed. God has called you. You are gifted. You can make a difference in this world. What if God wanted to use you? Listen to this. So that a friend of yours, a family member, or frankly a complete stranger that would be touched by your life and maybe come to church and hear the message of Jesus and raise their hands and say, yeah, I say yes to Jesus. I want to have a relationship with him. What if you could be part of that journey so that when that person who says yes to Jesus, whenever the Lord takes them or when Jesus comes back, that they will spend eternity with the Father, eternity with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and part of their journey has to do with you. Part of the reason why they're there is because you were bold and said, I'm not going to die being afraid. I'm not going to die being afraid to speak to someone. I can speak to people because God's doing the work. His favor is going before me. Amen? Amen. We believe that we can be a church here at Heart and Soul that sees daily growth of people coming to know Jesus. We believe that we can be a church that experiences God's favor in our community, city, and beyond. Amen? We believe we can experience the favor of God. We believe at Heart and Soul that we can be a church that worships God wholeheartedly. Hallelujah. Worships God wholeheartedly. We believe that we can be a church where people are making real connections with each other through small groups. We believe that we can be that kind of church. Oh God, let it not be that someone comes here for a year or two or five or even for a month and fails to build a relationship with one person. People are looking for relationships, and we want to offer that to them. Listen to this. You might be here, and you say, you know what? I don't need groups. I have friends. I'm good. But here's the thing about, especially the groups that we're starting now. Maybe there's someone that will come into that group in fear and trembling. They don't know what to expect. And maybe because you are going to be part of that group, you can be a blessing to that person. Are you with me? Maybe it's not about you growing, but about you giving of what you have, amen? And we need you. We need you. Whatever God has placed inside of you is needed. Listen, the Bible says, and I'm teaching this in our membership class to four new members who are going to be finishing up today, and I'm excited about that. I'm teaching them that every part of the body matters, right? Anybody wake up and say, you know what? I don't need my right hand. I'm just gonna leave that here. I'm good. I got everything else is good. I don't know. We would never say that. Even if it was a nail, right? Amen. Males are useful. Praise God. The Bible says that all of us are different parts of one body. Different parts, different members of one body. And it's all the body of Christ. And frankly, if you are not part of the body and being used as God would have you be used, then we will never experience what you have to give to the church and to the community. Amen? I've been doing physical therapy for my wrist. My left wrist, I hurt it several months ago, and it's just not completely healed yet. So I had to go and do physical therapy for my wrist. Now, I never thought about this before, but I use my wrist a lot for things. Every time I go grab something, you know, I play the guitar, and that's wrist. Hallelujah. And when it was hurting, I was playing in pain. And I've been going to this physical therapy, and it's kind of embarrassing because she has me put my hand here, and the other day, she had me, here's a little pile of pennies, and I want you to put your hand like this, and I want you to grab the penny and move it to the other side. Just like that. And I said, what? Are you kidding? He's like, just grab the penny. And just FYI, that hurt. It hurt for me to do that because my wrist was injured and I need to get it back up and running. Listen, some of you have been injured. Some of you are hurting. And even something as simple in the life of God as moving one penny to the other side might be difficult for you because you've been hurt. But I want to tell you that little by little, with the therapy of God, amen, you can start becoming stronger and stronger. And what's happened in physical therapy is little by little, I'm able to move stronger things. I'm able to do more things because my strength is coming back. God is speaking to some of you. He wants your strength to come back, but it's going to start little by little. Start with what you have. Give what you have inside of you, and God is going to use it for his glory. You matter. Every part of the body matters. We need you. Amen? We believe that we can be a church that worships God wholeheartedly. We can be a church where people are making real connections with each other through small groups. And finally, we believe that we can be a church that connects to God by gathering in this temple weekly and bringing many others along. Gathering in this temple weekly and bringing many others along. Invest and invite. We have new services starting November 19th, we're going to start a second service on November 19th. Amen? Yeah, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I told you that on the Sunday before Thanksgiving last year, we had 151 people here. You heard that, right?
Yeah.
FYI, we don't have 151 seats in here. Did you know that? In other words, there was a lot of people that were scrunched and sitting outside, and they came to church, but they didn't fit. So we're saying, God, we want to be good stewards. We want to see you adding to our number daily, those who are being saved. We want to be good stewards. And we want to be good stewards of this space. Amen? How many know that this space is a miracle of God? And those of you who don't know it, come talk to me. I shared the video last week with our new members. God built this place through the help of people like Brother Brian Babcock and teams from all over the Free Methodist Church. And God has also had this amazing place. So this is not a season to build new, but it is a season to be good stewards with what we have. Amen? And so rather than having one service, we're going to give people the option of having two. We're going to give you the option of having two services. We're going to have a service at 9:30 in the morning and at 11:15. They're going to be 1 hour and 15 minutes. I know you don't believe that, but I've talked to the preacher. He's going to be on time, okay? He's going to finish services on time or else. 1 hour and 15 minute services, one at 9:30, one at 11:15. One of the things that will allow us to do, loved ones, is if you're serving in some capacity in the church, and sometimes you serve, and whenever you serve, you miss out. You serve, and you don't hear the message. You serve because you're doing whatever, and you miss out in the worship time. You serve. So what we're doing this time is saying you can serve in one if you want, and then sit in one. It's not an obligation, but you'll have the option to enjoy services. We'll still be finished by 12:30. Why are we doing this? We're doing this because people all over Clinton Ave and Avenue D and Bismarck and Coleman are far from Jesus. And God wants us to reach them. God wants to see people coming and sitting and hearing the message of Jesus and maybe sitting next to you and maybe experiencing a smile and an encouraging word from you here today. We want to reach more people. Why are we doing it? We want to be good stewards of the space that God has given us. We want to honor God with the space that he's given us. Why are we doing this? And I will say this, we need you. We need every one of you to pull this off. And you say, well, I don't know what I can do. Listen, you can do something. Everyone say something.
Something.
You can do something because God's put something special inside of you. Amen? And his favor will go before us. We believe this is a special time. We're going to be having some special Thanksgiving invitation. We're going to have 100 invitations for the 9:30 service and 100 for our 11:15 service. And we want to reach as many people as possible with these invitations that haven't come here. And what we're asking them to do is sit in a service and listen to the scriptures and listen to the word of God, listen to the gospel message. And then we're blessing them with a basket. Here's why. Because each basket gives us an audience with a family. And we want to be good stewards of the audience that God is gifting us. Amen? Not everyone is going to become members of Heart and Soul, but some people will. I believe that. I believe that. Some people, maybe more than we think. And people will start filling these seats, and we can start inviting our friends and inviting people, because God is and will continue to do special things in this place. If you have addiction issues, God will break your addiction. If your family is broken, God will restore it. If you have people in your life that are far from God, God, through his Spirit, in his favor, will reach out to them and bring them back. And he's going to use you. He's going to use you. Not me, not the preacher, not the leaders. He's going to use you. Will you let God use you? We believe that God's dream for Heart and Soul is a first church dream. Let's stand. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your presence in this place. We invite you to minister to our hearts and minds right now. Thank you for the opportunities that you're giving us to connect with you, to others, serving and sharing, God. Help us to do that well.